This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Kendrick. I appreciate each of you being here, and I'm grateful that you are entrusting me with your time. I feel honored with that and humbled as well. Because I realize that I don't have all the answers, I hope to stimulate your thinking, and hopefully we can have some conversation together on this subject. And since my spiritual gift is teaching, I'd a whole lot rather interact with you than to preach to you. So that's just a bit of who I am. So I hope to create an environment that you feel free to participate and feedback to me. As indicated in the introduction to the session, I'd like to look at some of the relationship dynamics in mission projects. And as I was thinking about this subject, there was a time when I really felt kind of depressed because I felt like this isn't even inspirational. This is a nuts and bolts kind of topic. And it's not inspirational, but I think it still is a subject that is important because as we work together, if we have good relationships, we have opportunity to be more effective. And so that's our goal in this time together. I don't have any scripture to turn to say this is what scripture says is how you should do it. But I would point your attention to Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12, where the writer says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." And it's that cord picture that I'd like to leave with you in our discussion today, that there is strength in working together rather than alone. So the passage reminds us in a powerful way that our primary purpose really is relationship. It's together, first with God, and then with those around us, and all through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I indicated in the introduction, there are four or five groups of people that I'd like to focus in on. And the first group would be what I would call the senders. This is like perhaps a constituency, a church group, or a body of people who are interested in sending somebody out with the gospel or as missionaries. Generally, out of a group of senders, you have a group, a smaller group, called a mission board, right? You're familiar with that concept, I'm sure. And then from the board, you have someone probably who is chosen or responsible as an administrator. I'll abbreviate there. And then the administrator often is responsible for a number of missionaries, right? And then the missionaries go out to what we call the receiving body or receiving group. So I would just for interest's sake, how many of you have experienced being from a sending body or being a part of a sending body? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. How many of you have served on a mission board? Okay. Interesting, a few less. How many of you have been administrator of a mission? Okay, we've got a couple there. How many of you have been missionaries? Good. All right. How many of you have been in a receiving group? Good. Tell me your experience.
I'm from Belgium, and there was a beaching mission in Belgium.
So. Okay. Interesting. Good. Okay, good stuff. You know, I didn't expect I didn't expect anyone to be there. And I'm especially glad that you're here, because the one thing that I think that many of us are missing is the perspective of the receiving group. We understand this, but maybe we don't understand this and how the people feel. The only experience I've had with this is when the JWs or the Mormons came around. And how do we treat them? We don't give them a lot of time, do we? So then my question is, when I come as one of these, how do I conduct myself with these people? And can I put myself in their shoes and effectively communicate the gospel? That's a big issue of concern for me. Boy, this is good. I'm just really glad that you're here. I'd love to sit down and talk to you and hear from you. So let's try to understand these different groups here a bit. What is the mindset? What are some things of the mindset of senders? What do they have that they want to be senders? Why are they reaching out? What do they have? What are they thinking? You've got an idea.
Well, I know the group that I'm involved in is a pendulum can be swung either way. Some are very hesitant, very cautious, questions, doubtful, and then it swings the other way, and there's some that have a goal to fulfill the Great Commission.
Okay. So we have a message, right? We've got something to take out there. We want to share the gospel. Would you say what are some attitudes of these kinds of people? Compassionate? There's even a compulsion. They've been under preaching and teaching like we've been hearing, and it's like, hey, we've got to do something. Like we've got the good news. We've got a message. We got to get out there. And there's this enthusiasm that builds that says we got to take the message out. And so there's interest developed to get out there. This group, we would say probably that's where your resources come from. Your people, your money, your support. That's the senders. So we kind of have a picture of what the senders are. How many of you said you were served on the board, on boards? Okay. By vote or by volunteering, you're serving these people. But you have connection here, right? You're intending to fulfill the sender's goals. And you're helping to facilitate that going out. What are the characteristics of a mission board member?
A burden, a vision.
Good, okay. Others?
Often it's a position of diplomacy to some extent.
Okay, good. You have a desire to be involved? I mean, somehow, whether you were chosen or whatever the case may be, somebody got you involved. You were interested and you were willing to be involved. A person who isn't interested or willing doesn't make a very good board member, right? Did you get paid serving on the board?
It's out of this world.
The wages are poor, but the retirement's out of this world, eh? Exactly. So a lot of time can be spent by board members. No remuneration. You might get your way paid to go on field, but maybe not. A commitment to serve without compensation. There's a tremendous service that these people do to getting the gospel out. And I think we need a lot more understanding and appreciation for that. Well, let's look at then at... Well, this is almost a separate category. Let's think about missionaries. And give me some feedback as to what you think of as a missionary. Like, what are some characteristics that are important for a missionary to have?
He needs to clearly understand the objectives of the senders and board.
Okay. All right. And you need to be connected, too, right? Yeah. A passion, again, a desire to communicate the gospel. Like, you got to know what you're up to, because you're getting out there in the front line. You're in a lot of ways, you're losing connection with those people back there that you're leaving. And so you've got to be able to do that to a certain degree. A willingness to leave the unfamiliar. For us to live in northwestern Ontario, I know that going there, we didn't feel like we encountered very much cross-cultural issues. Not a lot of adapting that needed to happen. Everybody spoke the English language. It was a Western civilization. But some of you going into countries where you can't even communicate with the people on the street, a lot of adjustments that need to be made. But oftentimes there's a desire to develop new relationships. You've got to have some sense of adventure. If you don't, you're stuck or you're in a frightful position.
Pioneering,
exactly. Somewhat independent. I know that when we went north, the closest missionaries to us were 3.5 hours away. And we were alone in our community for, I think it was about 4 months. But we did find a group of conservative people about an hour south of us. And at Thanksgiving, they invited us down to their service. And as we sat in there and they started singing, their a cappella singing, my wife almost broke down in tears. Because of it had been so long that we had been away from that kind of familiar, and we were coming back to it. But there's got to be a certain sense of adventure, independence, open to a different way of thinking. If you're going to communicate with the local people, the native people there, you're going to have to learn to understand them. Where are they coming from? What's their lifestyle? What are they thinking? So you have to be willing to try to think the way they do, and willing to deal with adjustments. So we lost our sister here for the receiving group. But what do you think, what are some things that the receiving group has to have in their minds to be open to you coming? I serve in northwestern Ontario with First Nations people. And because many of them had experienced the residential school situation, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but where back some years ago, back in the 50s and 60s, the government came in and just took away their children and took them away maybe hundreds of miles away to a residential school. Some of them never got to go back to their homes. And unfortunately, in many of those cases, there were church groups that were operating the schools, and because of unscrupulous people helping, they ended up abusing the children. It was an opportunity. They took advantage of the children. Terrible, terrible things happened. It breaks your heart. And one of the first years I was in the North, I went to ask the chief of the reserve that we were working at for permission to use the building for Bible school. And he was just as cold as could be. He said, you know, I dislike all white people, but I hate white Christians. And imagine what that did to me, wanting to try to work with him and trying to figure out a way to build relationships and to gain his trust and to have him be receptive. I mean, here I come as a young Mennonite missionary. I thought I had the answers. I had Jesus. You know, aren't you going to listen to me telling you about Jesus? And it was, we don't want to hear what you have to say. So there has to be in the receiving group, I think there has to be, you know, like I don't know what they're thinking, but there's got to be some kind of receptivity to a new way of thinking. If there isn't, you're not going to get very far. And if you can somehow, for me, I've been there 30 years, I've developed a lot of relationships, and it's through relationships that I have the opportunity to speak into people's lives. That without relationship, it's zero. In fact, the first...
Is go ahead. Consistency important?
Oh, absolutely. And don't, for me especially, to take advantage of them in any way, mm-hmm. like, absolutely not. Now, the first funeral I went to, and I could spend the rest of the time telling you about their traditions, but they're very animistic people, spirit-worshipping people. And so at their funerals, they, as soon as someone dies, they start a fire outside the home so that for the 4 days until the burial, the spirit can come there and be warmed, and then the funeral itself is the medicine man directing the spirit to the happy hunting grounds and then sending him off on his journey. So it was the first funeral I was ever at, and I didn't know the people, but it was a suicide, and I just thought it was a way of getting out and connecting with the people and showing that I care. It was a place to start. And they were all outside. The body was inside, and the medicine man was in there, and the fire was going, and I was off kind of by myself, and I knew who the family was, but I didn't know them that well personally. So the brother and the father had stepped out of the home. They were making arrangements. All of a sudden, I sensed they were looking over at me, and I just kind of froze, like I didn't think I was doing anything. I was doing anything wrong, but who knows? Because I had just gotten there, and what are the traditions? And like I didn't know. And just like that, they'd make a beeline right for me, and the son was a big, burly guy, and like he would have pounded me to a pulp in a minute. And, right up into my face, what do you want? Why are you here? And I just said, you know, I heard about your daughter passing away, and I was sorry to hear it, and I just wanted to come and express my condolences and my support. Like, I'm really sorry about what's happened. You're not going to say anything? Oh, no, not... No, I won't say anything unless you want me to. No, we don't want you to say anything. Okay, that's fine. And here I discovered that sometime earlier, the Mormons had come to a funeral, and they waited until everybody had passed by the grave and had put their little bit of dirt in, and they had a captive audience, and then they let them have it, like they preached to them. And these people were saying, you're not going to do that to us here. They didn't know if I was one of those people or not. So that kind of thing, you have to understand the people that you're going to and their receptivity to it. Of course, do they have a desire to hear and learn? Are they willing to open their hearts to new relationships, to alternate ways of thinking? Let's move on then to... do you think of any scriptures that you can turn to that support this whole idea here?
How can the string of volunteers about how can they hear this that we sent.
Okay. Okay, that's an idea. We have in Acts 8:14, where the Jerusalem apostles sent Peter and John to Samaria, and they preached, and then they returned. And that would give us a bit of a clue of a connection that they had. There was a sending out, and there was and a coming back, and a reporting. In Acts 13, Saul and Barnabas were sent out. And in Acts 14:27, Paul and Barnabas returned and reported. I like the analogy in 1 Corinthians 12 of a body. Like, it just seems to me that as we look at all of these, what I call groups, they're different parts. They function differently, but we need each other to function effectively. To be honest, this is a man-made system. And it's not commanded, condoned, or condemned in Scripture. It's simply something that man has created in order to facilitate a need or to get the message out there. It's to be used as needed, and we ought to be able to adjust or tweak it as the situation demands. I would be interested in just exploring with you a little bit. And we got a small enough group here that I drew this out. Do you know what I mean when I lift up this flow chart? And do you understand? Have you seen flow charts and have worked with that kind of thing? We have the senders here, the board, the director, missionaries, and the receivers. As I lift this up to you, as I show this to you, do you have any kinds of sense or feeling with this model, or even just the way it's set up? Do you know where I'm going?
Why is it vertical instead of horizontal?
Yeah. Yeah. I served in the North for 10 years as a grassroots missionary, and I really felt like that was my call. That's where I enjoyed it. But after 10 years, they were looking for a new director, a new administrator. And so they came to me asking. And my first response was, well, no. My call was to grassroots ministry. And that's what I want to do. I wanted to be out working with the people. And so I really pretty much shut it off. But then I had a friend who I talked to, was asking for counsel. And he got all excited about it. And he said, oh, no, if you're out there by at the grassroots level, you're by yourself. What you have the opportunity to do now is to step back and get behind 10 or 20 other people and support them and help them to work out your vision, to fulfill, at least energize them to get out into ministry. And so that gave me the first clue that maybe that would be okay, but it didn't feel very good when people talked about, oh, he's being promoted, you know, up the line. I don't think this is a very good model for Christians and in our organization. I'd rather see it like this, an upside-down pyramid, where we get behind those who are, if we can stand, have people stand on our shoulders and support those who are out there. I like that better. But perhaps even better, I like this model. We're links in a chain. And we're only as strong as the weakest link. And so what do we need to do? We need strong relationships in all of these links in order to get the message out and to communicate effectively. Now, one of the things I notice as I think of the links here, and this comes into kind of the nuts and bolts of operation. So if the senders are here and the mission board, how often do the senders get out on the field and meet the receivers?
Not often enough.
Not very often. Is that a weakness? We have the connection here. The board is connected to the sending body, and the board is connected to the administrator and the missionaries. But what is missing is this connection, right? And so I would just caution, I don't know where I can put that. There's something I think that can go missing if we're not careful in this relationship. And that is that the senders can become so remote and removed from the receivers that we don't understand and that we don't have the compassion mm-hmm. that we should have. We'll talk about that just a little bit more later. But I would again come back to say that relationships are foundational to the success of getting the message out. It's relationships. Commitment to each other. And then, of course, communication. Communication is so key to understanding each other, to caring for each other, and to knowing each other. I'd like for us to spend just a little bit of time to look at the strength of this kind of a system, where we have a big group of supporters who are sending out, who are delegating responsibility to a board to operate a mission agency and organization. What would be some strengths that we might have in this kind of a system? You don't have the Lone Ranger, right? The loose cannon out there. There's connection. There's accountability. There's a responsibility. And I think that's a strength of the system. For one thing, the task is way too big for one person to do alone. So we need each other. We've got to have each other. Obviously, there's a lot larger pool of resources here than for one person to go alone. And I'm talking not just about money, but that of course is a big part of it. What about the prayers of supporters? For a person to go out by himself without that kind of without the prayer support of people behind him, very risky. Prayer finances a support system. People who care, people who stay connected, really, really important. I would also suggest that there's a broader scope of vision that happens when you have this kind of a setup compared to one person alone. And especially if you get out in the thick of things, you're in the thick of battle, you're maybe into situations way beyond your understanding or comprehension or having any idea what to do with. To have somebody that you can come back to and ask questions and get perspective and to broaden your scope of understanding is, I think it's imperative. I think you have to have it. The ability to step back from situations. You got your nose into the situation. You've got somebody who can step back with you and help you to step back to gain perspective is invaluable. And then finally, to have a place to regroup, to have these people be able to come back and reconnect and rejuvenate and be encouraged is important. One of the things that happens for Believers Fellowship and working in Canada is that when we bring people in initially, we can get them a one-year visa at the border as religious workers. A person could not come in by himself without coming in under an organization. So you wouldn't be able to say, oh, I'd like to go serve on a reserve in northwestern Ontario and just go off by yourself. They wouldn't let you in. But an organization, a mission organization, a charity, a registered charity, which we are, they recognize, and sure, it's fine for you to come. So in countries, organizations may be acknowledged and accepted where individuals would not. I would say then, too, that oftentimes mission organizations are a bit of a liaison between missionaries and the sending group. There can be, they can be the connectors here. But it's not all roses. And the brother who was administrator ahead of me said that he thinks one of the hardest places to be is this group right here. Because they have the pressures of the sending group and they have the resistance of the receiving group. And here they are in the middle. And they have to figure out a way to navigate. And oftentimes it's a lonely and hard task. Let's look then. Let me open it up to you. What other strengths do you see in this kind of a system? I'd love to hear from your experience.
Yeah, I think there's kind of goes along with what you were saying, just the care for the personnel that the board should and often does give, just to care for them and make sure they're doing well and have what they need to do the job and to do well personally.
Yeah, good. Anything else?
Trying to picture what it'd be like if you try to remove the smaller circle and the rectangle, remove the board and administration, remove that, and so the senders go. The senders are and right next to the missionaries. I'm just thinking of the situation that we had. We were serving in Guatemala. My son was involved in an accident that he almost lost his leg. And we thought we could get medical treatment in Central America, and the administration, and I think some of the board supported us in that. But the senders back home said, you have to return from the field. And I was glad for the board and administration saying, you know, we'll support you in getting help here where you're at and continue your work in the mission field.
That's interesting. I wonder what the dynamics were. That did they feel you couldn't get adequate help down there, or
you know, there's no place like North America.
I got you. Yeah.
And the interesting thing, long story, that our doctor came to Illinois between the various operations. My son, 6 operations, but anyway, the doctor was actually in Chicago and got training in the middle of the operations he was doing with my son. So we had North American teaching. Anyway, wonderful.
Interesting. That's a great story. Good. I would like to look realistically. Are there weaknesses to the system? Is it possible that there be weaknesses? What do you think?
Well, what you mentioned about the pressures there, pressures or expectations from one side and resistance from the other side, kind of along with that is just the sense that the board and the senders can be out of touch, can not really know what it's like, what they have these expectations, but they're not realistic, or they're not. It can just seem like this is something from outer space, you know, that we would think we could just do this so easily or whatever.
I think I can tell you've been there. Exactly. Yeah.
The disconnect.
Disconnect. How do you think our churches here in North America would feel or function if a group of men 1,000 miles away would dictate how they operate, how they function? I think there'd be a sense of some feelings there. Yeah. Yeah. Got to be pretty careful about that. And then the long distance relationships or lack of relationship and yet dictating. And then if it doesn't go quite the way they want it, to use some force or control, maybe threaten to pool finances. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a weakness? There can be a lot of damage done in those kind of situations. Politics can come into it, more focused on pleasing men than God. And again, that whole hierarchy system of feeling like there's somebody way up there who's dictating to us down. I tell you, I think one of the worst things we can do going on the mission field is to minister down to people. In the Christian walk, there is no room for that. At the foot of the cross, we are all on one level, and we need to come to the people this way and not this way. One of the things that I would like to encourage us to think about too is that we as North Americans coming with high ideals and high goals and getting our message across is that we can tend to think that finally we, coming from North America, are bringing Jesus to these people. And hopefully you're demonstrating a Christian testimony. But I would say to you that you're not bringing the Holy Spirit to those people. The Holy Spirit is there, mm-hmm. working on those people now. You just get to be an agent to come to work with Him to bring the message. But you're not bringing God to those people. God's there at work, and you get to work with Him there. I think it's a critical mindset shift that we need to make. Another failure that we may experience is the failure to understand jurisdictions. And it's been interesting, and I've had good relationships with our board. But I've outlived our whole board several times now as administrator. And sometimes I feel like I need to train board members. One of the things that happens, we have 5 men on our board, and each year they send a delegation of 2. And I remind new people, new men that come, that it's great for them to come. We need them to come and see what's going on. But the delegation is not the board. And so, or an individual is not the board. You can give all the opinions that you want to, but don't be coming here and visiting the missionaries and giving directives. The board together as a 5-member board is my authority, but not the individuals on the board. You understand what I'm saying? That needs to be a collective group. They are my authority. They give directives to me. But it's not the same when an individual comes there. And if an individual from the board goes around the administrator to give directions here, it's a recipe for disaster. A lot of hurt and misunderstanding happens when that takes place. So if you're on a board, be careful. Don't do it. We need to wrap this up. I would just like to say that I believe the overarching goals are to convey... Our first goal is to convey God's love, the love of the Trinity, to the people that we're ministering to. That's what's compelling us to go out. Develop and maintain relationships both here and here. Okay? Make it go both ways. Make sure that you have strong relationships both ways. We want to deliver the good news and the gospel, and then to believe in people. If you don't trust people, if there's no loyalty, it's a long, hard road. And you might have reason not to trust, but that's one of the things that that is critical. I would just like to encourage you to understand personally who you are in Christ. And I just think that's critical, that's key to setting us free to function the way God wants us to. All of the competition, all of the comparison, all the bickering that we can do among ourselves is a result of us continuing to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We don't have to we have no competition before God. You are alone, an individual before God. There is no you have no competition. He loves you passionately because of who you are, because you're His love dream. You don't have to compete with anyone for His love. That sets you free. In Christ. Christ in you. You are in Christ. That sets you free to function in freedom without all the baggage of trying to make yourself look better or do it better than someone else beside you. There's no competition. Function from faith versus fear. Fear, if you're operating in fear, inevitably leads to trying to control situations. Look out. Humbly serve. Beware of the hero mentality in going out and ministering. And develop and maintain relationships, as I said. Communicate love, demonstrate love, and stay connected. One of the things that I especially appreciate about our board some years ago, the delegation that came to serve us joined our men on a canoe trip, on a two-day canoe trip, going out in the bush and fishing and getting rained on and all of that good stuff. But the connections that we made in that setting was so strengthening. It was beyond sitting around a table and discussing strategy, but it was connecting man to man and facing the elements together powerfully. Good experience. We have an indescribable God. We have an incredible salvation. We have a world-changing message, and the fields are whitened to harvest. So how will we discharge the Great Commission in our life and times? On our own, we will likely fail. Together, we may prevail. And my appeal is that we move forward, whatever your situation is, with confidence and strength together. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.